The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, December 18th, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Bring Goodness to the World. Rabbi at ISU Menorah Lighting calls for people to outshine evil. By D. Jack Alkier. Normal. Even in grief, the light remains. There are forces of evil and there are forces of good, and the forces of evil always want to disturb the forces of good, Rabbi Chaim Telzner said Tuesday. And our job is to be those ambassadors of light and to make sure that they don't succeed and that we continue to bring goodness to the world. The rabbi had just finished lighting the menorah for the third night of Hanukkah, the Jewish Festival of Lights, at Chabad House at Illinois State University in Normal. He was also mourning the loss of his lifelong friend, Rabbi Eli Schlanger. Schlanger was one of 15 killed over the weekend in a mass shooting at Bondi Beach in Sydney, Australia, that left dozens more wounded. His funeral was happening at the same time that Telzner was lighting the menorah. Yet that grief could not stop Telzner's mission of bringing light into the darkness. It's our job now, every single human being, to be an ambassador of light and to make the world, their surroundings, their home, and the world around them a better, beautiful, lighted place, he said. Founded in 2016, Chabad at ISU is part of a global Jewish organization of Chabads to connect people of the Jewish faith. Chabad at ISU, where Telzner is co-director, serves anyone in the area who is Jewish. Will never be extinguished. Hanukkah is the historic celebration of Jewish pride and culture, recognizing the time when the Second Temple in Jerusalem had been desecrated in 168 BC by invading Syrian Greek forces, who were then pushed back by a group of Jewish resistance fighters led by the Maccabees. What they, the invading forces, said is, "Be who you are, but don't be so proud about it. Take that flame and dim it," Telzner recalled, for a small crowd gathered Tuesday evening. And the Maccabees answered back, and they fought back, and they said, "We will not bow. Our flame will never be extinguished. We will not give in to what you want us to be." According to tradition, the Maccabees restored the temple, but had very little oil to light the eternal flame lamp, enough only for one night. But that oil miraculously lasted for 8 nights. Hanukkah marks those 8 nights with the lighting the menorah, a candelabrum with 9 candles, 8 for each night of Hanukkah, while the 9th, the center candle, is lit first every night. 2,500 years later, the story of the Maccabees, in some aspect, repeats itself, Telzner said, referring to the mass shooting. In a moment when evil again rears its evil head, and in a moment which is all about spreading light, the names are different, the faces have changed, but their message and their goal is still the same. They want to extinguish our light. They want to extinguish our fire. And our answer is exactly the same as it was 2,500 years ago. You will not defeat us. Rabbi Rebecca Dubow, who leads the Moses Montefiore congregation in Bloomington, echoed Telzner's message of hope in an email Tuesday afternoon. "Even in this time of sorrow, we are called to kindle the Hanukkah menorah," she said. "We recommit ourselves to the values it represents, righteous action, compassion, kindness, and love for all our fellow human beings." On Tuesday evening, while many across the world were still mourning those lost in Sydney, representatives from the Normal and ISU police departments were on hand to ensure Hanukkah celebrations felt safe, something they often do, Telsner said. In fact, the grand menorah that he lit is a new one, as last year's was vandalized a few months ago, he said. The Normal Police Department was right on it, and we had tremendous outpouring from the community, giving us, sending us, messages of strength, and that their prayers are with us, Telsner said. So yeah, we feel this community definitely is part of the Ambassadors of Light and making the world a better place. The message of Hanukkah is more than recognizing the perseverance of the Jewish people, Telsner said. It is about creating a better world for everyone. Every single human being was given a mission. Every person in this position they're in the circumstances they're in, and in the surroundings they're in confined. What's my mission today? To make this world a better place, to make this world a more godly place, to make this world a more spiritual place, he said. Everybody has the power within them. The fact that God gave us life is God's way of telling us that we have a mission today. And that's how we woke up in the morning. And our job is to go out there and fulfill that mission and bring light to the world. The next local story from Woodford County is headlined, Board Eyes Missing Meeting Packets. Members say mail was torn to pieces or has arrived 10 days late. By Steve Stein. Eureka. Woodford County board members have had issues receiving board meeting packets at home in the mail for quite a while. The packets often don't arrive in time or not at all, and an envelope with a packet inside sent to a board member recently was open and missing the packet, said County Clerk Dawn Kupfer. Two board members described mailing issues Tuesday at the board's monthly meeting. Tim Warner said his packet for the meeting arrived Monday, torn to pieces. Dave Meinhold shared that his packet for a recent meeting had arrived 10 days late. He did some investigating and discovered that the packet traveled from Eureka to Chicago to Champaign before reaching his home in Germantown Hills, Meinhold said. With those stories as fodder, the board discussed the possibility of stopping the mail delivery of packets. The idea had a lot of support. It's costing us about $11.50 per packet to mail them, said board chairman Chuck Nagel. The board also talked about eliminating paper copies of packets. A lot of nearby counties have done away with paper copies, said board member Tim Wilcoxon. That idea didn't have as much support, especially after Kupfer talked about the cost of purchasing devices like tablets or iPads for board members to use during board meetings. In the end, the board decided to send the ideas of eliminating mailings of meeting packets and purchasing electronics for board members to the County Offices Committee to explore and report back to the board at its January 21st meeting. Whatever is decided, Nagel said, board members will continue receiving packets via email. Financial report. County Treasurer Melissa Andrews reported the county's general fund finished the 2025 fiscal year, which ended November 30th, with a $10.3 million balance, an increase of $781,978 from the start of the year, which was better than expected. Overall, the county's fund balances increased by $116,533 in 2025, Andrews said, which means the county was close to starting and ending the year status quo. Andrews also said a $150,000 grant from former State Representative Tom Bennett has been received. There are plans to distribute $100,000 to county communities and for the county to use the remaining $85,000. Among the uses being discussed in communities are improvements in Benson's Park and covering the cost of sewer, curb, and gutter projects in Minonk. Both communities are in the District 1, where Bennett resides. Board approvals. In other business, the board authorized Kupfer to obtain a credit card with a monthly limit of $2,500 from Morton Community Bank for use by county employees for county business. Kupfer is taking over the duties of Woodford County Coordinator Deb Bryman, who retired this month, and oversight of the county credit card is one of them. The board named veterinarian Matthew Fraker, administrator of the Animal Control Department, and approved a contract with him that runs through July 31, 2026, with automatic renewals for 4 years. Fraker will oversee the county's veterinary services, which will be done at his clinic, Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal, for $900 per month. The Menson Critter Care Perpetual Trust, which was established to support animal care in Woodford County, will cover county vet bills at Prairie Oak. The board approved a road use agreement with Panther Grove 2, which is building a wind farm in the county and intends to install an above-ground electric transmission line that will stretch from western Livingston County into Woodford County. The line will cross Woodford County Highway 20 between County Road 1600 North and County Road 1700 North. The wind farm company will pay for any damages done to County Highway 20 during the line project and a seal coat of the road after the project is completed. The board also approved 3 requests from the county's highway department. Purchasing a John Deere 2026 lawn tractor with a 60-foot deck for $12,931. Purchasing a John Deere 8-foot disc mower for $8,873 from low bidder Heritage Tractor of Roanoke. Hiring Willett Hoffman & Associates of Dixon to complete about 30 required annual bridge inspections in 2026 for an amount not to exceed $14,670. The new lawn tractor will replace the department's 1997 lawn tractor, and the cost for the new disc mower includes a trade-in of the department's 2015 disc mower. Willett Hoffman has been doing the county's bridge inspections for more than 10 years, officials noted. The board approved recommendations by the Zoning Board of Appeals to increase the maximum allowed size of detached structures, generally sheds, on a property from 70 to 287 square feet and reject a special use request by Jose Montoya to open a used car dealership in a residential district at 277 Old Germantown Road in East Peoria. The next story is entitled, Board OKs $40 Million Tax Levy by Matus Janik. Normal. Heartland Community College is increasing its property tax levy by 8% from last year. The Heartland Board of Trustees on Tuesday approved a $40 million property tax levy for 2025, which is about $3 million more than the 2024 levy. The board held a public hearing on the levy proposal before the vote, as required by law, because the increase is over 5%. There were no public commenters present, nor any formal comments submitted. The 2025 levy for taxes payable in 2026 is projected to yield a tax rate of around 0.58265 per $100 equalized assessed valuation. This will be a decrease of approximately $0.00128 per $100 EAV from the 2024 levy. Although the levy is about $3 million higher than last year's, growth in the community college's equalized assessed value would keep the tax rate down by spreading the levy over a wider tax base. The district's total equalized assessed value is estimated to go from $6.4 billion in 2024 to $6.9 billion in 2025. The 2025 estimated rate for Heartland's share of taxes on a $200,000 house, assuming no change in the house's taxable value, will be about $388.44, a decrease of 85 cents from 2024 taxes payable in 2025. In September, Heartland adopted a balanced budget at $45.1 million for fiscal 2026. Noah Lamb, Vice President of Finance and Administration, said the college regularly levies slightly more money than it expects to actually collect. The final amount received is determined by county-level calculations of the district's tax base, legal limits on tax rates, owner's assessment appeals, and other factors. In other business, the board approved funding of around $1.6 million in protection, health, and safety projects, including general maintenance, camera replacements, traffic signage, cold and hot water pumps, and water retention. The larger project will be for air handler maintenance for $229,000, exterior window resealing for $495,000, and exterior lighting replacement for $295,000. These projects will start no sooner than May 2026 and will take several months to complete. The board also approved a heat pump replacement for the Child Development Lab for $695,574, and updates to the Challenger Learning Center for $199,595. The Challenger Learning Center project will involve replacing fixtures and flooring in the simulator due to their age, but also will improve ADA compliance. The project will begin in the spring, with completion expected by the end of the summer. The next article is entitled, NPD's Thacker, Now FBI Graduate, by Caitlin Klepek. Normal. Nick Thacker, Assistant Chief for the Normal Police Department, recently graduated from the FBI National Academy in Quantico, Virginia. Thacker participated in the Academy's 296th session, which featured an 11-week program with advanced training in communication, leadership, and physical fitness, according to a news release from the Normal Police Department. Thacker has more than two decades of law enforcement experience, having worked for Normal since 2004 and served as assistant chief since 2022, Public Information Officer Brad Park told the Pantograph. In a prepared statement, Chief Steve Petrilli said, "Selection for and graduation from the FBI National Academy represents one of the most distinguished accomplishments in law enforcement leadership. Officers come from across the country and around the world to participate in the FBI's program. In this session, 254 law enforcement professionals represented 47 states, District of Columbia, 24 other countries, 4 branches of the U.S. military, and 2 federal civilian agencies." Assistant Chief Thacker's successful completion of this program reflects the highest standards of professionalism, integrity, and commitment to public service, Petrilli said. His experience and advanced training will further strengthen the leadership, strategic visioning, and operational effectiveness of the Normal Police Department, directly enhancing our ability to deliver effective public safety services to our community. And here's a story entitled, Goodell to Lead Babyfold Outreach, by Olivia Jacobs. Normal. The Reverend Thomas Goodell has been named the new Faith and Community Engagement Officer for the Babyfold, effective January 1st. He brings more than 35 years of ministry, leadership, and community development experience, according to a news release from the Normal-based nonprofit organization. Goodell has been an ordained minister since 1989. Earned his Master of Divinity from Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary, and served congregations across Illinois in both rural and urban communities. Early in his career, he worked as an associate pastor at Normal First Methodist Church, where he first connected with the Babyfold. He most recently served as lead pastor at The Bridge United Methodist Church in Washington, where he worked to address local housing insecurity and supporting children in public schools. I have long admired the Babyfold's mission and the way it surrounds children and families with care. My early experiences here showed me the remarkable impact when faith communities and local partners unite to support vulnerable children. I'm eager to work alongside staff and community partners to build on this work, exploring new opportunities and approaches to strengthen and expand this vital mission, Goodell said in the news release. He has also partnered with Habitat for Humanity, the McLean County AIDS Task Force, the Maryville Ministerial Alliance, and the Illinois Great Rivers Conference, where he served as chairman of higher education. His accolades include Normal Human Rights Advocate Citation in 1997, Illinois Great Rivers Conference Denman Award for Evangelism in 2009, the Garrett Evangelical Distinguished Alumnus Award in 2012, and the National Association of Social Workers, West Central Illinois, Public Citizen of the Year in 2014. Reverend Goodell has dedicated his entire ministry to serving vulnerable populations, and that heart for service makes him an exceptional fit for the Babyfold, said Cleet Winkleman, President and CEO of the Babyfold. In his new role, Goodell will be tasked with strengthening relationships with faith communities, expanding mission-focused partnerships, coordinating meaningful volunteer and service opportunities, and providing spiritual support to staff and clients upon request. He will continue to serve the Bridge in Washington as well. And the next article is entitled, Illinois Farm Bureau Young Leaders Elected. Chicago. The Illinois Farm Bureau Young Leader Committee recently elected new members. Garrett Williams of Richland County was named the 2026 chair. Michael Bernhard of Kendall Grundy Counties was named vice chair. As my time as chair comes to an end, I reflect with pride and appreciation on the opportunities Illinois Farm Bureau provides young leaders, said Stephen Riskadal of LaSalle County, former IFB Young Leader Chair, in a news release. The past year has been a rewarding experience and gave me better insight into the inner workings of our organization and its commitment to our members. IFB's focus on farmers, meeting their needs, and setting our organization up for future success is unwavering. Additionally, the following executive committee members were elected: Christina Weller of Stevenson County, Secretary. Cody Conradi of Vermilion County, Governmental Affairs and Commodities Subcommittee Chair. Amber Towle of Tazewell County, Achievement Subcommittee Chair. And Sam Deischer of Wabash County, Education and Recruitment Subcommittee Chair. Members of the IFB Young Leaders are 18 to 35-year-old men and women who are passionate about agriculture. It was created and is driven by IFB members, allowing them to promote agriculture, attend conferences, and compete in events such as the Young Leader Achievement Award and discussion meets. Giving back through the Harvest for All program is also important for the young leaders as they raise funds, donate food, and contribute their time to help fight food insecurity throughout the state, according to a news release from IFB. The next story is headlined, Candles Sparked the Fire That Led to 13-Year-Old Normal Boy's Death, Fire Officials Say, by Caitlin Klepek. Normal. Candles started the fire that burned through a Normal mobile home last month, leading to the death of a 13-year-old boy, Normal fire investigators determined this week. The fire took place November 2nd at 865 2nd Street in the North Meadow Village mobile home community. Firefighters were dispatched at 1:50 a.m. after 911 callers reported the home was on fire with people possibly trapped inside, the Normal Fire Department previously said. Firefighters found the boy, later identified as 7th grader Eder Diaz, in a bedroom and were able to pull him from the residence. He was taken to a hospital in critical condition and succumbed to his injuries on November 8th. In a statement issued Wednesday, Normal fire officials said investigators have ruled the fire accidental and determined it was caused by the ignition of combustible materials by candles. Our hearts remain with this family as they continue to grieve an unimaginable loss, Fire Chief Mick Humer said in a prepared statement. This tragedy reminds us how vulnerable our homes can be to open flames and how important it is to use candles with great care, especially during this time of year. He and the department advised residents to be mindful when using candles in the home. While candles are commonly used, especially during the holiday season, the fire department reminds residents that open flames can quickly ignite nearby items such as furniture, blankets, curtains, or decorations, according to the news release. To reduce the risk of candle-related fires, Normal fire officials advise never leave candles unattended, keep candles at least 3 feet away from anything that can burn, extinguish candles before going to sleep or leaving the room. Consider using flameless, battery-operated candles as a safer alternative. Ensure working smoke alarms are installed on every level of the home and near sleeping areas. The Normal Fire Department continues to offer free smoke alarm installations to residents who need them. For information on requesting an installation, visit normalfire.org. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for December 18th. Please stay tuned.